As they say, a picture paints a thousand words, but if you had to illustrate a day in Australian politics, what would it look like? Well, recently there was an image of Barnaby Joyce climbing out of an Akubra UFO to meet with One Nation leader Pauline Hanson. It was captioned, "Take me to your leader." Well, that's how cartoonist Matt Golding portrayed Mr. Joyce a couple of weeks ago in the Age newspaper, as the MP toyed with the idea of joining One Nation. For more than 30 years, Matt has been coming up with creative and witty ways to draw the news. And today he's being named as the Museum of Australian Democracy's 2025 Behind the Lines Cartoonist of the Year, and joins me now. Matt, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Sally. Love to be on the inside.
Now, this is one of these jobs that exists but kind of doesn't. How did you know you wanted to be a cartoonist?
I had a fascination with images from from a baby, just this magical world, I guess. And then when you sort of add a bit of humour to that, it's a wonderful way to communicate ideas, and a very powerful way, and a fun way as well. So I think everyone starts off as a cartoonist. We have a crayon and a paper and we try to make sense of our world. We draw our parents, we draw unusual magical creatures.
Teachers, I bet, along
the
way.
And teachers. Nothing needs to actually make sense.
Yeah.
And that's the gorgeous thing. You're just sort of understanding your world, and then everyone decides that maybe they should get some more mature pursuits. And then there's a small number of us who think, well, I want to keep drawing and I want to spend the rest of our lives working out how do I actually earn a living from this, funny enterprise.
So Matt, how does the day normally play out for you in terms of taking in the news, but the kind of deadlines for you when you need to decide what you might be doing and liaising with editors as well?
Yeah, I sort of work in, I guess, I'm mainly doing sort of little pocket cartoons, which are a bit of a different beast to a larger editorial cartoon.
How would you describe a pocket cartoon?
Well, I think they're about 5 centimetres by 5 centimetres. They're a little cage match of creative ideas. You can only fit so many lines and so many words in there. So I think it's a wonderful place to work. There's a certain freedom because I'm working across, I may be briefed on 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 stories that are going on. If I have an idea which is good, it can be placed in, a few words taken out of copy. If I don't have an idea, I can move on to a different story. So there's a lovely creative freedom to play, and because they only take literally 2 or 3 minutes to draw up in most cases and colour and send, they give you the chance to focus on the idea. And with cartooning, the idea is what we're actually talking about here. If your idea is only half-hearted, you can illustrate the Sistine Chapel and you still have a half-hearted, working cartoon. But if your idea is beautiful and works and cuts to the heart of a story, then literally, you can carry that off with just a few kiddie scribbles and you have communicated this, message, and it's received by the reader in, literally a second or two or three.
One of the interesting aspects of art, I mean, this is an artistic pursuit, is that people can interpret art in different ways. Is that a challenge as a cartoonist, because you've intended this cartoon to mean one particular thing? People can see it as another, or really kick off and be offended if they think you are trying to say something else.
I guess, yeah. In the offence case, you restate, what your goal was. But it actually happens quite a lot where people will read something into your cartoon you hadn't meant, and it's actually a much better interpretation.
Oh, really?
And you can claim it easily.
What sort of interactions do you have with politicians when they find out that you're a cartoonist in the way that you draw them? Do they like that, or do they have some complaints about the formula that the visual language that cartoonists will have to show the reader that, look, I'm talking about this person?
I don't really have that much interaction. I've sort of been keeping my profile low around Canberra.
That's probably a good choice, yeah.
So, look, I think some politicians are a bit more caring about how they're depicted, but I think most of them have got a fairly a hard skin. And, when you're coming after a caricaturist like David Rowe, I mean, if they're wearing clothes, I think they're quite happy.
Yeah, that's a plus.
If the anatomy's sort of all hidden under our clothes, then I think they feel like they've got off easy.
Was there a worry as digital technology started to rise and more people were looking at papers online rather than buying them in person? There were big discussions about the newspaper industry. Was there a worry that cartoonists might be lost in all of that change?
Look, I think to a certain extent, when we had a broadsheet newspaper, one of the beauties of the cartoons is visually when you've got, thousands and thousands of words, the cartoon was like this lovely little island that the reader's eye would go to. It was the shortcut to what the word said. And so in that space, in that format, cartoons, I think, had extra power. And then once the cartoons are viewed on a scrolling platform where you are basically, it's images versus images versus images, it's much harder to stand out in that sense. But I think to a certain extent, the power in the cartoon and the reason why they are so popular with the general public is because I sort of see it like sort of there's a very easy way to digest information, and they also have a lovely humour and have a lovely power. I think there's people sort of say it's funny because it's true. So I sort of see the whole idea of linking humour with a strong message is a little bit like a sort of a Trojan horse. People's guard comes down. And look, and then all of a sudden, you can basically communicate with them your message. What you see is your version of the truth. They may not agree with it, but you've actually had that communication and you've actually connected with someone through the fact that people like and are drawn to cartoons. So, I think, especially as we get more polarised with information you take in, I think there still is a power and a simplicity and a beauty to the art form of cartooning and communicating.
You've got rather a lovely day job there, Matt. So great to have you in the studio this morning, and keep listening in. I understand you're listening in the mornings to hear what's going on in the news.
So. Yeah, I feel like I'm almost part of the team. I'm always cooking toast and scribbling while you're sleep deprived.
Yes. Well, Matt, congratulations and thanks so much.
Lovely to be here. Thank you, Sally.